Hi, everyone, and welcome to our series, Coping with Crisis. I decided to put this series together because of the crisis that we're all having to go through. And again, the things that we're going to talk about are going to be able to help us in a practical way, not only with this coronavirus crisis, but also with other crises that might come our way that we have to deal with, whether that's sickness, health, death, family members going astray, whatnot. And that all brings a crisis to us. And what we want to look at is how to biblically respond the correct way when things like that jar our life, they upset our life, they pull the rug from under our feet, and we just don't know what to do, where to go, and we don't know the next step. And so today what we're going to look at is the topic of addressing the real problem when a crisis hits us. When a crisis hits us, we typically think, okay, that's the problem I got to deal with, and the crisis is the problem. And it's true, that is a problem, but what the crisis typically reveals to us is that there's something going on inside of us in our reaction to it. And so what people typically say is, your problem's not your problem, and because it goes deeper than what you think on the surface is your problem. And then again, I want you to think about this. There are two kinds of problems in the world. There are curable problems, and then there are coping problems. And you have to be able to discern as a Christian, do I have a curable problem here that I can problem solve and figure this one out, or do I have a coping problem? And a lot of people have a hard time with coping problems. Because curable problems, okay, we put a game plan together, we fix it, we get after it, and that's what we're supposed to do. I get that. But then we get these problems like the coronavirus and the shutdown of our economy, and we have no control of it, we can't problem solve, we can't fix it, and that turns into a coping problem. Or like a loved one that's went astray, that's no longer in fellowship with the Lord and has turned their back on the Lord. What do you do? That's not a fixable problem. It's a coping problem. Same thing with health issues. That becomes a coping problem. We wish our health issue would just simply go away. We ask the Lord to take it away from us. And He doesn't, though. And so it becomes a coping problem. And so a lot of the problems we have is in the area of coping with issues. And so we all would like to be firemen and put out the fire as soon as possible, and or we would like to be escapists and just escape from the problem, get it away from us, or we just want to fix it or whatever like that. But on these other problems like coronavirus or anything else that are bigger, where we have no control over, we can't do anything about, we're just stuck, what do we do? Because it's beyond us. Well, I want to turn our attention to 1 Peter chapter 1. We're going to look at just a couple of verses and look at why these uncurable problems, these coping problems, come into our lives. If we look at 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll start in verse 6. He says this, "In this you greatly rejoice." And what he's really talking about is suffering trials. And he's talking about rejoicing in the trials. And again, he's not saying be happy in the trials, but there's something going on in the trial that you should rejoice over if you respond correctly. And basically, when we have these trials, these problems that come into our life, like the coronavirus or losing your job or, economic shutdown, whatever it might be, they are not without purpose. So what we have to understand is crises teach us about ourselves. They are meant to develop us spiritually. They reveal to us things about ourselves that we would not necessarily know unless the crisis came to us. We all have character flaws. We have character strengths. But we also have unresolved hurts. And maybe we've got some healing from those hurts, but sometimes we bury them so deep we don't even know the hurts are there. We can't even remember them until a crisis triggers that or incites that root in us, and we realize oh, wow, I'm really not healed from that. This crisis that just came upon my life reminded me of this and put me into this spiritual funk that I'm in, this stupor that I'm in, and reminds me of stuff that happened to me in my past, and I'm paralyzed in it. And that's what happens. We all have spiritual maturities, but we also have spiritual immaturities in different categories of our life. And that's what these crises reveal. It also reveals the quality of our faith, the closeness of our walk. And it also reveals if we've really overcome our sin struggles, or are we still stuck in them? Have we had victory? Do we think we have victory? Or maybe I don't. Maybe I haven't really worked through everything. But that's what these things reveal. And he says, continuing in the text, he says, though now for a little while. So he focuses the attention of us on the brevity of the trial. It's not going to be for all eternity, right? So our trials in light of eternity are brief, is what he's saying. But here's the key phrase I want you to hear, what he says. If need be. So these trials that come to us might be needed, is what he is saying, for us. Peter adds, if need be, to this description of their circumstances. So the idea is that these trials are a necessary part of the Christian experience. That's what he's trying to say. They're meant for a reason. Yes, they're beyond us, but God will use them for our Christian experience. And he says, you have been grieved by various trials in that idea. It means more than just persecutions or hostility towards us. It can include that, obviously, but it includes sickness, accidents, conflicts, and other negative experiences that you and I go through. So it's really a broad term that Peter's talking about. And so I want you to think about this on a larger scale. God has allowed these things to happen, this coronavirus and this shutdown, for what? I mean, he didn't cause it. Other people caused it. Sin in the world caused it. Sinful people caused it. And we're the victims in this. But what does God want us to do with this? Why is he allowing that? Because it's shaking the entire church. It's shaking the entire world. First off, if we're in the end times, God is and I believe we are, God is definitely shaking the world to make sure they get themselves saved before the tribulation goes down. But as far as even the church is concerned, what is he shaking the church for? It's to get the people who are on the fence on the right side. It's to get the Laodicean believers who are apathetic towards their faith more resolved in their faith and more dedicated in their faith. It's to shake the worldly Christians from their worldliness to get on spiritual maturity. And it's to basically wake up believers who are asleep. Now, the remnant obviously always gets it. The mature believers always get it. And we pay a price sometimes for that shaking because we're all being shook. But nonetheless, God is shaking the world and the church to say, hey, you better pay attention. The time is running out. So you can see this on a global level, what the Lord's trying to do. He's trying to get people's attention. And this is part of his grace. Well, he does that to us. And this is what happens when we individually have to deal with these things. He is shaking us. He's shaking us from the false securities in this world that we're clinging on to, saying, you don't have anything in this world but me. And so he shakes us. Think about this, what he's shaking. He's shaking people's bank accounts. He's shaking people's retirement accounts, which are plummeting. He's shaking people's jobs. He's shaking people's businesses. He's shaking their plans for their life. Why is he doing that? Because many Christians are putting too much stock into this world. They're hanging on to this world. They've become worldly. And he's showing them, you have no security in this life other than through Jesus Christ. There is no security. and to get us to think correctly about our reality. So when problems hit us, our first reaction is to figure out a way to get rid of the problem ASAP, right? And please don't get me wrong. That's a good thing to do typically if the problem is a curable problem. You want to fix it right away. Spiritual expediency is the key. Try to fix it. But what happens if you can't? What if there's a problem you can't solve, you can't fix? Well, a lot of people try to escape it. They try to get away from it, but you can't really. How are you going to escape the coronavirus shutdown? You can't. You're in the middle of it. There's nowhere to go. And so a lot of us will try to spend a lot of energy and time trying to get rid of the pain by taking some type of action, manipulating the circumstances, whatever it is. And that puts us in a problematic position as well. And then there's some people that just simply don't deal with it. They go into denial. They deny the reality of what's happening to them. You can see this a lot of times in grief. People will deny the grief. They lose somebody, they lose a job, they lose something, and they won't grieve it, and they just deny it. I'm okay, I'm good, I've moved on. They're denying the problem. And again, that's not a healthy state to be in. A denial of reality, of losing something, creates more problems later in the future for you. So again, people try to solve it, try to remove it, try to deny it, and that's how most people handle a crisis. And the problem is, those ways don't handle it. They make it worse. And so, when they handle it this way, I want you to see something that happens to them. They only focus on the problem and trying to get away from it or solve it or deny it. They only focus on the problem. And unfortunately, when you just simply focus in on the problem, you won't go any deeper than that. So if you just simply say, I'm focused on the coronavirus, that's the wrong move. The focus should be, what is this teaching me about myself? That's how you move into a Christian mindset. Not focusing on the coronavirus, but what is this teaching me? What gaps in my game did it reveal? What lack of faith did it reveal? What areas of growth do I need to have? Is this throwing me back into my old habits? Is this creating in me a desire to go to my old habits because I want to escape from this? See, those are the questions you and I have to ask ourselves. That's how we go and deal with the Christian life. We just don't simply focus on the problem because the problem is not our problem. The problem is our reaction to the problem. And that's what we need to focus in on. And this is the thing that you'll see in the Bible. There's no doubt there are times when God takes away a problem from somebody. Like, for instance, in the Gospels, Jesus will heal somebody. He took away their problem. But again, he did that to authenticate himself. It wasn't so much the healing of the person. It was more of authenticating him as the Messiah. So a lot of people, they don't read the Gospels correctly. And so they don't understand that miracles were there to authenticate people. So they think that's just normal. Miracles are not normal. They're extremely rare if it does happen, if God takes away something from somebody. And if he does, it's because of some other issue. But the typical way God helps us is not to take away the problem, but forces us to go through the problem. And that's what a lot of people don't like. They just want to pray and God take their problem away, but he won't do it. He wants us to go through the problem. He will go through the problem with us. He will give us the tools for the problem to go through it, but most people don't want to go through it. If you look in the Bible, big examples of God going, making people go through the problem. The flood in Noah. He didn't take Noah away. He had Noah built an ark, so he would go through the flood and come out on the other side, right? You look at the Babylonian exile when Israel was taken to the Babylonians. He helped them go through the problem and get to the other side after 70 years of exile so they could come back to the land of Israel. He didn't exclude them from the Babylonian exile. He made them go through it. And you look into the future, Israel in the tribulation. He's going to make Israel go through the tribulation, through the vice grip of the tribulation, through the persecution of the Antichrist. Why? To get them to the other side to accept Jesus Christ through it. So what you see in these big examples, he makes people go through it. He made the disciples go through persecution. Most of the disciples, except for John, were martyred. He didn't take the problem away from them. And the same is true for you and I. God typically does not take our problems away from us. He wants us to face them and go through it with him. That's what he's typically wanting us to do. And we're sitting there, well, I just want my life to return back to normal and how it used to be and whatnot. And I don't like this pain associated with my life and my life's disrupted and I just want to get back to normal. Look. What God is doing is saying you're not going back to normal. You're going to a new norm, a new reality, and you need to embrace the new reality. Because the longer you don't embrace the new reality, the more you stay out of reality and you start losing a grip. And it will bring you more pain to stay out of reality. So the idea is God is saying, look, here's a new reality. I need you to go through this new reality because it's going to signal in you that something's deeper in you that I want fixed, that I want healed. There's a part of you that needs healing. There's a part of you that needs maturing and growing. And so come with me through the trial. Don't sit there and protest. Don't sit there and get mad at me, God's saying. Don't sit there and deny reality. Just embrace the trial you're going through. Because I got something I want to show you deep, deep down inside. So for example, you have this coronavirus crisis or any crisis that comes to your in your path. The first thing a lot of people will sense is a loss of control. Now, if control is a issue for you, that you're a control freak, that you like to make sure your environment is controlled, you're facing the ultimate out of control situation. And if you start freaking out and start gravitating to old ways of managing life and whatnot, it can mean that you have control issues. It could mean that there's something inside of you that doesn't trust God's control. And so you have to control your environment. Well, now you can't control your environment. So what are you going to do? You see what it does? It's revealing to you and I what the problem is. Or how about the pain of lost plans? You're like, you know, I planned this and I planned that. And boy, all those plans are uprooted now because of this crisis. Well, it can mean that if you're so hung up on that, that you're too idealistic. You're too much of a perfectionist and that you have those tendencies. And God is saying, I need that idealism and I need that perfectionism to get out of you. Because when you have both things going on, you're going to get very angry and upset when your plans change. And you will constantly be frustrated by life. And what he's trying to teach you and I is, look, you don't adapt reality to how you want it. You have to adapt to the reality that's presented to you. And idealistic and perfectionist tendencies won't accept reality. And that could be something that God's showing. Or how about the pain of losing things? You lost your job, retirement, business. Again, and you really are devastated by that. And I get it. You need to provide for your family and whatnot. And I get that. But is there something more deeper than that? Did your job, did your retirement, losing a retirement, did you lose it, your business, was that an idol to you? Was that an idol? Again, that's just something you have to ask yourself. And is this revealing to me? Why am I so upset? Don't I know God will take care of me? Don't I know that God will provide for me? Don't I have enough faith that God will open another door for me? Or am I so mad and angry at God or mad and angry at the situation, I'm about to lose it? Well, it could signal you made those things into an idol. And God purposely took that away because he's not going to have an idol in your life. Or how about the pain of isolation that we're all feeling? Now, some people feel it more than others, right? And we're all isolated, obviously, and it's a tough deal to be isolated from the body of Christ or whatnot. But does this pain of isolation, is it way beyond normal? Is it deeper? And is it touching on the relational deficits in the person? That the person typically wants to keep everyone at bay, doesn't really have good relationships or strong relationships with people, has surfacey relationships, but they still like to be around people, but even though they don't want a relationship. But now you're forced into a situation where you can't even socially be around anybody, and that you're at home by yourself, and it just kills the person and sends them into a deeper depression because they're in the ultimate isolation. And it could signal that they have relational deficits, and that's why they isolate and withdraw. And so, again, it's just a matter of exploring those things and realizing the coronavirus is not my problem. It's my reaction then to it is becoming the problem. And again, what typically happens when we're experiencing the pain of loss, isolation, depression, despondency, whatever it is, what will we do? Well, we'll look to escape. And typically, people try to escape through sinful means. They go back to their old habits. They go back to their old patterns. The way they managed life to escape pain in their life before they met Christ, they go back to them. And this is where the Lord is wanting us to not go. It's like he's saying, face the crisis. I'll go through it with you. I'll give you the tools to deal with it. But do not default into your sinful past. And so, you know, a lot of people will go back to habits that they thought they had victory over, that they had stopped, and now they're back in it now. And a lot of people, you know, eating has becomes a big issue. Not eating becomes a big issue. Addictions to pornography, addictions to drugs, addictions to alcohol. Do you know alcohol sales are going up? Why? Because people are falling back into their old tendencies. And what could be whatever. People gaming all day long, you know, on video games, or vegging out on TV for 8 hours and whatnot. I mean, they go back to something that helps them escape. And the thing is, God doesn't want you to escape. He wants you to face your problem and deal with it and try to grow, because there's areas in us that are bent or broken that need fixing, that need straightening out, that need growth and development, because he's trying to conform us to the image of Christ. So I want you to think about it in terms of a tree, okay, your life. And you have this tree and it has branches on it. And some of the branches, you know, obviously you don't like. You know, they're part of your old past, part of sinful habits, the way you manage life, whatever it might be. And so some people typically just say, well, okay, I'm addicted to alcohol or drugs. I'll just cut that branch off in my life and I'll be good. No, sorry. Cutting the branch off doesn't help you, because your problem is down at the root level. It's not at the branch level. So a lot of people spend their time cutting off branches. Well, I don't drink anymore, or I don't do drugs. That's great. But if you still have the root, it's going to come out in a different area of your life in some other way. And you still haven't dealt with the root. So what a crisis does is go beyond the cutting of the branches and pruning the branches, but go to the root. And maybe the root of why, you know, somebody's in an addiction or whatever, the root is rejection. And they haven't dealt with rejection or something like that. Who knows? But it's a root. And until you unearth the root, you will never get the healing you need from that. And why do I use the terminology root? Because the writer of Hebrews chapter 12 uses the word root. What he is saying in Hebrews chapter 12 is that if we don't access the grace that God provides for any crisis, and we can go before the throne and ask for grace and mercy according to Hebrews chapter 4 in the name of the Messiah, and he will give it to us. But if we decide to handle our problems on our own without God's tools of grace and mercy and all the things he provides for that, you won't handle it correctly. And what the writer of Hebrews says will happen inside of you is a root of bitterness. Now, that root of bitterness might be anything. It might be dealing with rejection. It might be dealing with some type of hurt, some type of loss, something. It's a root. And then that root grows, branches a tree, and then the branches come out and the fruit of the tree comes out in our behavior. And so God is using these crises to get to the root, to get past what we think is the problem. And again, he always gives us the option whether you want to go that deep or not. And I'll tell you this, a lot of Christians that I counsel do not want to go that deep. They do not want to go into the recesses of their soul and get to the root issue. They would rather handle life on a surface issue, a problem basis issue that, okay, I'm still with the coronavirus and I'm still with this, but they never go down deep because they're scared. They're scared of the surgery that God will do on them. They're scared of what they will see about themselves. They are scared to revisit the pain. And I get it. No one likes to have elective surgery, but it's the only way to get the roots out of you. And now is a good time to do it. This crisis is revealing that you and I have issues that go deeper that we need help with, because we want to grow from this, become more like Christ, and be ready for the next challenge. If not, we will always go through this life in kind of a spiritual handicapped way. We'll always have this gnawing issue that we just can't get past. We won't think about it. We won't even know it's there, but it'll be in control of our desires. And our own resources will just simply come up short every time. So what you need to look at is look at your patterns of reactions, your patterns of behavior to crises, a repetition of things that keep coming up. Look at your relationships. What kind of relationships do you have? Look at your hurts. Look at the wrong attitudes. Maybe it's a fear of rejection. Maybe you have performance issues. You're always trying to live up to a performance, whether at work or with your family or whatever. See if you have any wrong views about God, about others, about life, and about yourself. You will discover, if you go down deep where the roots are, you will notice that you believe lies. And these lies will be attached to lies you believe about God, lies about reality, lies about the world, lies about others, and lies about you. And you have to get those out. And you only get it out by the truth. The truth sets you free, right? God will show you that truth, but you have to be able to identify the lies you believe before you know how to set yourself free with the truth that God provides. But if you don't know what lies you believe, you don't know what hurts you have, you don't know what unresolved issues you have, you don't know what truth is the antidote for the things that are deep down in your soul. And so this is what God's trying to get us to. Get to the root of the matter. Get to the issue. And not stay at just the surface level problems. And if you decide to take this journey, it's a tough journey. But I will promise you, the truth will set you free.